what to say. That you only meant well, well, of course you did. What to say. That it's all for the best, because it is. What to say. That you only meant well, well, of course you did. What to say. What did she say?
Right, so now we're going to continue in our series, part three of The Power of Words. How many are growing in this series? Are you growing? How many say this series is for my spouse and not for me? How many say it's for this section over here, my section, we don't need it? Anybody here? Okay. I got a couple honest people who are being honoring today. All right. How many know that this series pertains and applies to every one of us? I would dare to say that this spiritual principle, when it comes to the power of our words, is the most either activated or the most abused or neglected spiritual principle that we walk in every day. Nothing else are we doing more than when we talk. We're talking throughout our day. And we got to continue to be aware of the spiritual principle which says that our words have the power of life and death. We're speaking one or the other. And so through this series, we've said that we want to learn to be life speakers. We want to learn to speak life. We want to learn to speak encouragement. We want to learn to speak life over people, encourage people. So today, how many say, I'm ready to speak life? Anybody want to speak life today? Come on, put your hands together. I'm ready to speak life. See, we're going to grow. I don't know if you know this today or not, but we are going to grow, okay? We're going to grow in our knowledge of what the Bible says about our words. Look at this statement. When I have no control over my mouth, I have no control over my life. You got awful quiet on me now. Okay. When I have no control over my mouth, I have no control over my life. The Bible says that when our mouth is out of control, that our life is out of control. Let me put it another way to you. When our mouth is out of control, it sets into place a domino effect of bad things in our life. And many times we're trying to fix things that aren't the problem. They're just a substance of the problem. They're just a side effect of the problem. The root of the problem can often be found in our mouth and in our heart. The root of the problem can often be found in our mouth and in our heart. Learn to control and bring submission to our mouth to the Holy Spirit, and learn to give control back to the Holy Spirit. We'll get back control of our life the way God has intended for it to be. I love hanging around positive people. Who loves hanging around positive people? I mean, I love being around positive people. I love this video of this little boy. He goes out to pitch to himself and hit the ball, and he declares with his positive words, I am the greatest hitter in the world. I love his attitude. Look at this quick little commercial.
I'm the greatest hitter in the world! Strike one. I'm the greatest hitter in the world! Strike two. I'm the greatest hitter in the world! Strike three. Wow! I'm the greatest pitcher in the world! Yes! Optimism. Pass it on. A message from the foundation for a better life.
Don't you love being around positive people? There's something about being around positive people that, whether or not you know it, you are a magnet. You are drawn to people who are positive in our life, right? People are drawn to being around. We love hanging around. We love talking. If you watch, that's how many times we gravitate toward people who are positive. Why? Because it makes us feel good. It makes us feel good. The atmosphere feels good. It's great conversation. They have a way of making you feel good about yourself. They have a great way of looking at negative things and spinning it around to a positive outlook. The reverse is also true. We don't like being around negative people. Pastor, I don't know why I don't have any friends. Just saying. Maybe we need to look at our mouth, and maybe we need to check our negative attitude. See, negative words doesn't draw anybody to want to be your friend. Negative attitude doesn't draw anybody to want to draw close to you. Start changing. See, there's power in our words. So today we're going to grow into power. We're going to get some application. We're going to talk about how to control my mouth. Everybody say my mouth, not my neighbor's mouth, not my spouse's mouth. How to control my mouth. We're going to get some application. I believe if you'll begin to apply these things according to Scripture, we're going to give some practical ways you can do this. We're going to back it up with Scripture. You can grow in learning to control your mouth. Control your mouth, control your life. We can only control our mouth by submitting it to the Holy Spirit. Look what James 1:26 says. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. The word religious and religion here we know to be used as the way we serve God. So if anyone thinks the way he serves God, he's doing good things for God, he's serving God. If you think it has value, but we don't bridle our tongue, he says it's useless. It has no use to it. Why? Because the things we say and do for God mean nothing if we can't control our mouth. We got to learn to control our mouth. And it talks about not only controlling our mouth, but it says we need to learn to bridle our tongue. Now, Pastor Jeff, give me a hand here. We got a bridle here today. And Pastor Jeff is going to bridle. Pastor Mike's going to let him bridle him this morning. And so, Pastor, can you put this in your mouth? I'm just playing, Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike is being obedient. I guess so, Pastor. That's not very sanitary.
Golly, Wilbur.
Okay, anyway, we got... What's funny was half the people were like, what is he talking about? You have no idea. You missed out on a great childhood. Anyway, the bit goes in the mouth. The bridle goes over the horse, and the bit goes into the mouth. And what we know to be this is if this piece of bit can be placed in the backside of a horse's mouth, what can happen? An average horse weighs around 1,200 pounds. Some get as high as 2,700 pounds, and some a little bit smaller, but the average horse has weighed several hundreds of pounds. We all know this. We see this. Very powerful, right? And so how can a person who weighs 100 pounds take and control a 1,500-pound horse? By placing the bit in the mouth of the horse. You see, it's able to control the horse by placing the bit in the mouth. It just gives a little tug which way he wants to go. If it gets out of control, it pulls back on it. And the horse knows, all right, that doesn't feel good. I'm going to be led by my mouth. And so today, thank you, Pastor Jeff, you put that down. Today, the Bible is saying, this is how we control our mouth. Let me ask you this. Is it hard to control a horse? Is it hard to tame a horse? Pastor Tom, in high school, I had a friend who I used to go to his house and we would go horseback riding. And he always wanted to give me the untamed horse. He thought it was funny to give me the untamed horse. And so I would have to bridle this thing up, and it always would fight me, and I'd get it saddled up, and we would go, and it was always an adventure. The whole goal was I was not going to let this horse buck me off, throw me off, or he would try to run me into trees. He would see a low-lying branch, and he'd head straight for it. He was ornery, he was untamed, and he didn't want me to tame him. And it was a struggle between the two of us. But you want to know something that was funny? Because my friends thought it was funny. They had their horse would just like, you know, obey. They could like, you know, get a little sound. That horse would just gallop and do what it wanted to do, do tricks. But my horse, no. It was untamed. I think it had to go with my personality, I guess. They thought it was funny to give me the untamed horse. But let me say this. Is it impossible to tame a horse? No. It's hard to tame a horse. But it can be done, and it's done all the time. The Bible says that our mouth and our tongue are one of the most powerful things we have in our body. It's not our biceps, it's not our triceps, it's not our quads, it's our tongue. It is a very powerful muscle in our body. And so, the Bible says it's even hard, very hard, to tame our tongue. It can only be done through submitting it to the Holy Spirit. But it's not impossible. It is possible. We can. We can't live behind the excuse. Well, the Bible says hell's trying to use my tongue, and so there's no sense in me trying to control it. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, yes, hell is trying to control your mouth. Yes, he's trying to get you to speak out against yourself. And the Bible says there's power of life and death. It's very powerful. But the Bible says this, that we can bridle our tongue. We can allow ourselves to be bridled by the Holy Spirit in our life. And so today, it's really hard, but it can be done. We must submit to the Holy Spirit and let him bridle our mouth. So today I want to give you three practical ways, three P's, okay? When you leave today, you're going to be able to say them, you're going to know them, and you're going to memorize them, okay? I want you writing this down. If you're not taking notes, get your phone out, put it on airplane mode, take notes, okay? Let's get right to it today. Number one, right now, pause. Let's say it together. Everybody say pause. Be slow to speak. Time out. Sometimes when we're talking, we need to pause. We need to learn what it means to be slow to speak. Look what James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note. Are you taking notes today? Okay, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to talk, right? And slow to listen. Is that correct? He says everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And slow to become angry. Has anyone here ever had the problem of saying, you know, Pastor, sometimes I get angry just way too fast? Anyone have? I've been there. Have you been there? Okay. Could it be the reason why we get angry way too fast is that we're too quick to speak and too slow to listen? We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak. And what happens at that point is this, that it will help us slow down to becoming angry. See, we need to learn to pause. The reason why our mouth gets out of control is because we don't slow down. We got to learn to slow down our speak. Learn to pause. See, we got to learn to wait. Write this acronym down. W-A-I-T. Wait. Ask yourself, why am I talking? I got to learn to wait. Why am I talking? See, if I'll pause and ask myself that question while I'm waiting, why am I talking? Is it going to produce any good? Am I going to say something that's going to be encouraging? Am I going to say something that's going to be taken the right way? Is this the right time for me to bring this correction? Is this the right time for me to say this? Why am I talking? Am I going to speak life or am I going to speak death? See, I learn to wait. W-A-I-T. Learn to wait. See, the Bible speaks about this. Am I going to speak life? Proverbs 21, 23, look what it says. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue, keep his soul from troubles. Wow, he's wanting us to learn to guard it. How do we guard it? We pause. You got to pause. Guard the words that are coming out of your mouth. The person who can master this, the person who applies this in their life, can keep his soul from troubles. Let's be honest. Our mouth gets us in a lot of trouble. Let's take it a step further. If this scripture, I believe, was written in this day today, it would say, whoever guards his mouth, his tongue, and his thumbs. Come on now. Now he's not ready to preach. Come on. Think before you tweet. Think before you post. Think before you send that text. We got to guard it. Guard. Pause. Slow down. I can't tell you how many times I've typed out something, a response, an opinion. And as I think about it, I realize this is not what the Holy Spirit wants me to say, and I just delete it off. I delete it. I just have to keep doing it. And it happens a lot in my life, believe it or not. Because why? Because whoever guards his mouth and tongue can save himself a lot of trouble. Look what Proverbs 10:19 says. He wants us to show restraint. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Come on now. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains, slows down, shows restraint, his lips is wise. He's saying there's wisdom in learning to slow down. Show restraint. Even when you know you're right, even when you have an opinion, learn to show restraint. Pause. What am I getting ready to say? What I'm going to say? It says the person who does that is wise. Proverbs 17:27-28. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. And whoever has understanding is even tempered. Even fools, look what it says, even fools are thought wise if they just keep silent. And discerning if they'll just hold their tongue. How many want to be thought of as a wise person? I mean, people look at you. Listen, this is such a great secret. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers and always something great to say. Sometimes just being a great listener, people will look at you and go, man, that's a wise person right there. So full of wisdom. It's not that they had anything great to say. It's just that they took time to listen. And they didn't have to spout out their opinion, but they were able just to listen to you. The Bible says this person is even looked at as wise. He goes, even the foolish person, even a person who's not wise, will be looked at as wise if he just learns to keep his mouth shut. I had a friend, a mentor in college. When I first got to college, one of the executives there, I was on tour looking over facilities, and his office door was open. He invited me in. We got to talking and meeting each other. He goes, let me give you some great advice. His name was Ron Miner. Some of you guys may know Ron. He used to live here in town, and he doesn't live here anymore. But he said to me, he said, Gene, I want to give you some great advice. He goes, keep your mouth shut. Now, I was not doing anything wrong at the time, okay? He wasn't correcting me. He was just trying to give me some life advice. He said, this is the best thing I can get. Learn to keep your mouth shut. He goes, because everybody's got an opinion. He goes, this college is full of people who think they know it all already. They've been called to God. They got all these preachers. They think they know it all already. He goes, learn to be quiet. He goes, then when they call upon you to speak, he goes, have something to say and be ready to talk. But until then, keep quiet. You know, that was such great life advice, and I try to take it and carry it over. It's so true. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's shooting their mouth off, and sometimes very wise people run their mouth so much that people over time hear, wah, 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 you know? It's like Charlie Brown's teacher talking all the time because they're always talking. Even if they're very smart, intelligent people, when they're always talking, you kind of lose focus on what they're saying. And that's what he was saying. Don't always, just because you have an opinion, you don't have to give it every time. Learn to show restraint. And it was such great, wise words. And I'm here to tell you today, learn to do this. See, let me give you some Pastor Gene-ism this morning, okay? Can I give you some Pastor Gene-ism? Look at this. It's better to close your mouth and for people to think you're a fool than to open your mouth and leave no doubt. It's better just to leave your mouth shut and someone think you're not smart than it is to open your mouth and leave no doubt. Sometimes just closing your mouth shows maturity, shows wisdom. Don't talk too much. Maybe nobody's ever told you this before. I want to give it to you very plain today. And if you never heard this, listen to me today. People don't like people who think they know it all. People don't like people who they think knows it all. This person thinks they know it all. This person always has an answer. This person always thinks they know it all. And even though some people are like walking Googles, they have a lot of information, you don't always have to share that information just because you know it. Pick your times. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and you will become wise. You become a person perceived as wise. Look what Proverbs 18:13 says. He goes to answer before listening. How many people like to do that, right? We want to answer before we hear the whole thing. He goes, that's a folly and a shame. When I think of the word folly, it kind of reminds me of the old folly videos, sports videos. Remember those? They would show the guy trying to pick the ball up and he kicks it out of bounds. So the guy's a fumbling it and one guy picks it up and he fumbles it and the next guy picks it up and he fumbles it. You know, the old folly video. It's the same thing. He goes, this is what happened. He goes, it's silly. You're not getting anywhere. It's a shame when you answer before listening. Stop trying to one up everybody. Stop trying to one up. I have better information. Let me tell you. Oh, that's a great story, but let me tell you what really happened to me. Oh, I know you went through a lot, but let me tell you how bad I had it. Well, let me tell you, you know, we always want to one-up somebody. We're always trying to one-up. Just learn to be quiet, okay? You want to be wise? Learn to be quiet. Learn to listen. Learn to appreciate and hear somebody's story. Learn to listen to them, and you will be seen as wise. You know, when I went to parent-teacher conferences growing up, it was the same thing. When I would go in, they would talk to my mom and dad. And they would say, you know, Gene's a great student. You know, we love having him in our classroom. But there's only one problem. He really likes to talk. And imagine that. She's like, I can't get control of my room because Gene's always talking and he's got everybody else's attention. I remember I went to this private school early on. And we used to have these uniforms we had to wear. It's kind of like prison. They put these little cells, they call desks, with the dividers, you know. And I used to take my dividers and I would pull them out and I would put paper, cram paper all on the end of them. So when they put my divider back in, my divider was about that much longer than everybody else's. So I could talk to the people on my left and talk to the people on my right. I know it. I love to talk. And so I was talking. And they would tell this. And now, when I go to school with my kids on parent-teacher conference, the teacher said, Mr. Beebe, we really love having your kids in our classroom. I mean, you got some great kids. They're very respectful. And they make good grades. But if I could tell you, the one thing they need to work on is they're always talking. And I'm like, I don't know where they get that from. That must come from their mom. You know, where did that come from? You know, we naturally sometimes have it, and sometimes we naturally want to talk, and we naturally want to give our opinion. It's not a bad thing, but the wise person learns to show restraint. The wise person learns to know, I don't have to be the person with all the answers every time. I can learn just to slow down. Pause. Everybody say pause. Learn to pause. Number two, write it down. Learn to ponder. So we're going to pause, and then we're going to ponder. Learn to think about what you're going to say. Think about what you're going to say. How much will my life change if I thought about what I was going to say before I ever did it? So we have three types of talkers in this world. All of us fall under one of these three types. People who think before they talk. People who think while they talk. And people who think after they talk. Which one are you? I tend to fall in number two. I like to process by talking. Talking things out helps me process. But sometimes it can get me in trouble because I say it too soon without letting it process the bad thing that could come out of my mouth or the thing that could come as a reaction to what I'm saying. So I'm striving to be at number one. And my goal is that throughout the series, you will take the same attitude that I want to be a person who thinks before they talk. I want to be a person who thinks before they talk. Which one are you? Scripture says that we think in two places. We think in our mind and we think in our hearts. We think in our mind and we think in our hearts. Look at Proverbs 23:7. Look what it says. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's the Bible. Jesus said this. Jesus perceiving the thoughts of their what? Come on. Jesus, see what happened? Jesus perceived the thoughts of their heart. Come on, say it again. The thoughts of their heart. This is important, okay? I want you to get this. We got to realize that there are thoughts in our heart. He took a child and set him before him. Look what Matthew 9:4 says. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil things in your heart? Why do you think evil in your heart? So we are seeing this, and what I wanted to tell you today is this is really, really cool, is that now even medical science is backing this up. You can find in medical journals where doctors are writing about this subject that we actually have thoughts in our hearts. And the reason why they're coming to this conclusion is not only because of what the Bible said several thousand years ago, but what's really being said now is this, is that now in the age of modern transplants, we have people who are receiving heart transplants who have no idea about the anonymous donor who gave them that heart. And when that person wakes up from the heart transplant, all of a sudden they're having thoughts that were not related to them at all, and they have no idea what it is, and it goes right back to the person who gave them the heart. And they had no idea how this, it's not even possible. It's not even possible. And so now through this, they're learning that in our hearts, there are thoughts that are stored up, and there are thoughts that are coming out. It's an amazing thing. And Jesus said it. Jesus said, our hearts have thoughts. See, we need to let our new heart think for our old mind that's being renewed. We need to let our new heart think for our old mind. You see, when I had salvation, I receive a new heart. But the problem is, I still got my old mind. Anybody here still got your old mind? See, we receive a new heart, but we have a new heart, but we have our old mind. And so we got to learn to let our new heart think for our old mind. Because the Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so it's my mind that's being renewed. How do I do that? By letting my heart think for my mind. Let Jesus' heart that he's given me. See, I received a heart transplant, and it came from Jesus Christ himself. He created in me, he created in you a clean heart, a new heart. I've received a new heart from Jesus. And now I've got to let that go to my mind. You see, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I had a new heart. But I had an old mind. And I noticed something, though. Even though I never had any teaching or read anything about the power of my words, I noticed that the way I was talking, all of a sudden my heart began to say, you know what? I don't think Jesus would like that. All of a sudden my heart began to gauge it, and I began to realize, you know what? I don't think Jesus would like the way that I'm talking right now. I don't think Jesus would, and my heart would begin to gauge and tell me that I need to change the way I'm talking. I need to change some of the vocabulary I'm using. I need to change some of the tone I'm using. And my heart began to change slowly over time. Because why? My mouth began to change. Why? Because I was allowing my heart to change it. So we can let our heart change our mouth. My heart became the gauge of my mouth. And number three, our last point today, learn to pray, right? So we're going to pause. And then we're going to ponder, and now we're going to pray. Let's say it together. Pause, ponder, and now pray. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct my words. We've got to learn to ask the Holy Spirit to direct my words. Isaiah 6:1-7. Look what it says here. Now, King Uzziah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah was one of the greatest kings that they'd ever known. He was known for his advance in warfare. He was great strategically, but he had, under his reign, they invented like some of the greatest war weapons that had ever been invented. He was the modern inventor of the so many things they used in modern day warfare. And he was looked upon as a king with great wisdom. So when he died, everybody was in panic. And it says Isaiah went to the altar and began to pray And look at what he saw. He says, I saw the Lord in the year King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphims, and each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. Can we get our band up here, please? I need my band up here. I really need them up here playing with me. Thanks, guys. Come on. Come on, give it a hand for the band. I don't know where they're at right now, but they need to be up here playing with me right now. I'm losing this. Come on, guys. Let's hustle. I need this. I got to have the band behind me when we're saying this again. So I want to say it again. I want the band behind me. Come on, Pastor Joe. Can you run up here and give me a little chords up here? Come on, Pastor Joe. Run. Because this doesn't sound right without music behind you, okay? If you're going to be in the throne of God, it says God inhabits the what? The praises. Come on, say it. God inhabits the praises of his people. You ready? Give me a little strum there. Okay, go. It says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphims, and each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling one to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Look at this. He says, at the sound of their voices, the doorposts began to shake and the threshold shook and the temple was filled with smoke. And Isaiah cries out, woe to me. I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man whose mouth is unclean. I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then one of the angels flew to me, and live coal to his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. With it he touched my mouth. And he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Now, what I want you to hear today, and I want you to see today, is this. So here's Isaiah. He's praying in the temple of the Lord. He's mourning the death of King Uzziah. And while he's there, all of a sudden, God begins to open up his spiritual eyes. He's saying, get your eyes off of Uzziah. I'm God. I'm in charge. And he begins to show God. He gets to see God on his throne. And as he sees God's on his throne, he sees the angels singing, holy, holy, holy are the Lord God Almighty. The smoke of his glory filled the temple. And Isaiah found him face to face in the presence of the Lord. And isn't it amazing? And his first response, when he found himself in the presence of the Lord, his first response was this: my mouth is unclean. The first thing he was convicted of in the presence of the Lord was that his mouth was unclean. You see, when we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord, truly finding ourselves in the presence of the Lord, he will convict us that our mouth needs to change. Our mouth needs to be brightened. He'll convict us and realize we need to give control of our mouth over to the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? We've got to learn to pause. I got to learn to ponder. I got to learn to pray. Holy Spirit, give me the words to say. I can tell you that over time, so many times in my life have I prayed that prayer, not knowing what I was going to say, not knowing if I'd have the words to say. But every time I've prayed, Holy Spirit, I give you control of my mouth. I will be quiet, and at the right time, he would give me exactly what to say in the right timing. It came when I would just admit, all right, I don't know what to say. I'm going to need your help. And he'll give you that help. I'm telling you, it's a principle that will change your life. As we learn to control our mouth, we'll learn to control our life. Let's bow our heads. If you're here today, the most important words that will ever come out of your mouth are the words confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's the most important thing we do today is to ask you this question. You say, Pastor, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is the Messiah. But I've never confessed Him as Lord of my life. Those words need to be confessed. Not only believe in your heart, but now you've got to confess them as well. So if you're here today, maybe you want to join those. We had several in the first service, but today in this service, I know we'll have others today. You say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We won't do anything to single you out. We won't do anything to embarrass you, I promise you. With no one looking but me, can you just raise your hand and say to me, I'm ready to accept Jesus as my Lord in my life. Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, guys. So what we're going to do, we're going to say this prayer. If you raise your hand, I want you to say it out loud with me. As Christians sitting around you, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I accept your love and your grace. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. From this day forward, I will follow after you. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. Yes, this is why we're here today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave, I'm going to invite you to stop by our hub back here in the back by the white garage door. We're going to have a free Bible we want to give you as our free special gift today for you. I'm going to invite you to stand up on your feet this morning. How many say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me throughout this whole message today. I've got to learn to get my mouth under control. Come on now. Let's be honest. We need it, right? We need it. Let's change our mouth. Let's change our life. Come on. We're no longer a slave to our mouth, but we're a slave to the Holy Spirit. Come on. Let's say it. Let's proclaim it. No longer a slave. I'm going to invite you before we leave. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord and saying right now, Father, we submit our mouth control to the Holy Spirit. Father, I submit control of my mouth to the Holy Spirit this morning. Father, we want to learn to pause. We want to learn to ponder. And we want to learn to pray. According to your word, Father, we want to learn to become wise. So, Father, right now, we give submission to the Holy Spirit over our mouth. We say, Holy Spirit, learn to bridle our mouth every day. Teach us what it means to give full control of our mouth every day. Right now, Father, we pray. Right now, you're going to give, through this series, new life, new control over every person in this room. God, I believe you're doing something in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, receive that this morning, put your hands together. Let's give God a praise. Before you leave today, I want to wish you, see, you're going to have no other time to really apply. Some of you are going to have time to apply it today. This week is going to be a great week for you to apply. This Thursday is going to be a great day for you to learn to apply this, okay? Apply it. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. We can't wait to see you tomorrow night, guys and girls. It's going to be a great time. God bless you. We love you. Have a great Thanksgiving.